Chapter 3. Osumar and Massasoit exchanged glances about who would start. With an unspoken agreement, he took a sip of wine and turned to Peregrine. This is about 2,000 years in your future. As best we can tell, you came from the 21st century. We can't be more precise than that, because so many records connected with your time were destroyed. You're probably wondering why we aren't stunned to have someone from the past fall out of the sky. Literally. Time travel isn't just theoretical. A few weeks ago, 4 temporal incursions from your time took place. The others landed elsewhere. We had reason to suspect the final one might arrive here. And you did. Temporal incursion. That sounds like an attack. It is, he said in a matter-of-fact fashion. She looked straight at him. You mean that people from my time are invading your world? Why? To be blunt, you're trying to change history so we never exist. She sat back, her eyes wide. He can't be serious. I'm part of an invasion trying to destroy them. So why didn't they shoot me as soon as I arrived? Or at least lock me up. She looked around, evaluating her situation. Maybe they have. Gilded cages are still cages. I don't understand. How does going to the future make you never exist? And why would we do that? Massasoit turned to Yixuan. I think it would help if you gave her some background. The seriousness that flooded the young woman's face made her age a decade. Look at everyone in this room. What do you see? And what do you not see? Peregrine studied the 24 diners. No one younger than 20 or older than 50. As many women as men. Everyone's fit. Single individuals, couples, groups, colleagues, friends, lovers. No small number of unfriendly looks cast my way. Massasoit's not alone in his distrust towards me. Wait. She looked at her hands, then back at everyone in the room. How could I miss that? Her anxiety was palpable. I'm the only person here with skin this light. What's wrong with me? Am I sick? You think your white skin means there's something wrong with you? A surprised Yixuan asked. Of course. Everyone else here is darker. I'm pale. Anemic? What else could it mean? Her 3 dinner companions exchanged puzzled looks. Don't worry, Osumari answered. You aren't sick. But you don't remember that there are different races. Peregrine paused. I'm sorry. My brain is firing on only one cylinder. Give me a minute. She closed her eyes. I don't remember anything about races. Osumar reached across and stroked her arm. Race was so important in your time, especially to the Asungu, that the fact it's not registering with you is significant. It may mean more serious memory loss than we thought. However, you aren't sick. Your light skin just means you're a different race. Hominids are basically the same, explained Yixuan. But there are some irrelevant surface differences. Skin color, face shape. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just different from us. However, there are relatively few Asungu on the planet now. Asungu? You said that a minute ago as well. The word is from my ancestors' land. Osumar turned to Yixuan. Africa? Yes. Literally, it simply means white. Over time, it's taken on some... She hesitated. Unfortunate overtones. Which is why we hurried you off the beach, Massasoit explained. Your species, especially your race, the Asungu, doesn't have the best reputation. Our species is largely free of irrational bias. But the Asungu are our weak flank. Radical nationalists, white-skinned from the colonial, industrialized nations, drove the conflict that led to the war. Some people in our time still blame your race for that. I got the feeling at least one other person on the beach might have seen you, an Asungu, fall from the sky. We didn't need wild speculation about what that meant. We needed to get you off the beach quickly. War. Skin color. What the fuck is going on? Her face tensed. She looked around at the others in the room. Everyone else's skin was some shade or mixture of brown, red, or yellow. Her lily-white skin was in such stark contrast to the range of skin colors around her, she looked pallid. "Don't worry," he reassured her. "You're safe." Everyone here is sworn to assist any who need it, no matter who they are, even those of us who may struggle with the stories we heard about the Asungu. I will recommend that any of us in this facility who have been feeling anything negative towards you, your race, or your species should focus on addressing that weakness the next time we meditate. We're only human. "Wait a minute," she interrupted. "I'm not just a different race, but a different species. That's crazy. We're the same." "That's interesting," Massasoit interrupted. "You don't know what race means, but you do understand species." "Okay. Maybe interesting to you," she said impatiently. "But not as important as you saying we're a different species." "What do you mean?" The three looked at each other. Osumare took the lead. "There's no easy way to say this," she said gently. "No, we aren't the same. You're an earlier, less advanced hominid than we are. Yixuan is best qualified to explain the details." The cocktail of emotions flooding Peregrine's brain, confusion, panic, fear, took control. "Stop!" she shouted. "You think I'm inferior?" "Hardly. And I apologize if that's what you heard. I didn't mean to insult you." Despite Peregrine's outburst, Yixuan replied calmly. "You are a unique, special being, and we honor that. But you are different. I appreciate that this isn't the way Asungu from your time think. Unlike your species and race, we don't think that different means inferior. It simply means different. Children aren't inferior to adults, but they are different. They're less advanced. Similarly, Homo IR is less advanced than Homo RC. People in your time called themselves Homo sapiens, the thinking hominid. But after the devastation you wrought, especially the Asungu, it was clear that was inaccurate. You needed to be reclassified. No truly intelligent species would have behaved the way you did," her voice filled with grief. "For centuries, you savaged each other. Then you basically destroyed the world. It took hundreds of years for the survivors to create something livable." She paused. "You are," she explained in a voice more clinical, "Homo irrationalis, the irrational and emotional hominid. To be honest, most people who aren't scientists call you Homo dystopus because of how terrible your societies were. We try to discourage that, but objectively, that assessment is largely true. Your race gets most of the blame because the Idzungu nationalists of your time believed you were the superior race and acted like it. You launched a race war. As a result, we consider the Asungu to be the most primitive and the most dangerous of the races of your species. We are Homo rationalis concorsk, the intelligent and cooperative hominid." Yixuan continued talking, but her voice faded into the background for Peregrine. She was stunned. This is all about race and skin color. In what universe could that matter? And lead to war and planetary devastation?
"Wait," she interrupted.
"Why does skin color matter?" "To rational people, it doesn't," Yixuan replied. To an irrational, fear-based, and emotional species like Homo IR, it became an excuse for domination. Massasoit shifted uncomfortably in his chair, looked at Peregrine, opened his mouth, then looked away.
You obviously want to say something. Go ahead.
Be honest with us. When you look at our darker skin, you instinctively think you're superior to us, don't you? His voice mixed suspicion and gravity. I've had it with this arrogant horse's ass. I think skin color tells me everything it tells you, that it's irrelevant. Her delivery was a perfect balance of, do I really look that stupid? And fuck you, you bigot.
Massasoit was silent.
Hoisted on your own petard, you bastard.
We should apologize, said Osumare. Even the Asungu, who are living now, believe that the Asungu of your time believed they were superior to everyone else. And my partner has a bad habit of being too ready to believe the worst about your race.
She gave Massasoit a disapproving look. Turning back to Peregrine, she actually looked a shade puzzled.
I confess to being surprised. You honestly don't think skin color tells you something about the person inside?
Of course not. Why would anyone think that? She shot back. She was reeling from the shock of everything she had just heard. I'm an inferior, dangerous primitive. I'm an enemy because of my skin color. The current troubles of my time not only won't be resolved, they'll mushroom. Fueled by racial warfare, they'll culminate in an unparalleled level of destruction.
Destruction? Fuck, that's Armageddon.
She tried to force her mind to remember anything from her time. Where are the global hotspots? How did it start? When? Is it going on now? What's my part in this? Frustrated that her brain was still a void, every part of her body tightened.
Get a grip! You need intel.
She stared silently at her wine glass as she struggled to process the terrible idea. A minute later, she realized her three dinner companions were sitting silently, waiting until she was ready to proceed.
I'm sorry. That's a lot to take in.
No. We shouldn't have been so blunt. Osumare squeezed her hand. It was insensitive of us not to realize what a shock all of this would be to you.
It's okay. There's never a good reason to hide from the truth.
Peregrine took a healthy swallow of wine and clicked into professional mode.
Tell me more.
War.
Destroyed the world?
Are we talking a third world war then?
Something like that,
Yixuan observed. But so much information about that time was destroyed, we can't be sure what happened. What we can say is that it was a global conflict and fought with EMP weapons.
Electromagnetic pulse weapons, Peregrine said, almost automatically.
Massasoit's eyebrows raised. You're familiar with them. A wave of guilt washed over her.
Oh my God, that really rings a bell.
Was I working on developing those?
Apparently, I am, although to my credit, I get the feeling I wish I weren't,
she added somberly.
Electromagnetic pulses can fry any computer, anything with a chip, Osumare continued.
Imagine entire societies that depend on computers. Their economy, government, public utilities, healthcare, educational system, military.
Everything from airplanes to home appliances to personal chronometers.
Think of all the interconnections around the globe that depend on this technology. Now imagine EMP weapons so powerful they destroy all of this.
It would
send everyone back into the Stone Age overnight,
Peregrine said grimly, interrupting her.
Yes. Everything about how people operated on the planet had to be retooled. Old technologies had to be rediscovered.
Massive amounts of data of all sorts were lost, Yixuan added. Scientific, medical, historical, literary. Every category of knowledge. It's like walking into a library and discovering each page in every book is blank. There's a huge gap in humanity's recorded history as a result. We're just beginning to piece things together. Peregrine struggled to take in the impact of such destruction. But it's even worse than you think, Yixuan continued. The people who designed these weapons were so hasty and careless they didn't realize the weapons had two unanticipated side effects. Not only were they so powerful, they had a residual effect that lasted for centuries. They damaged space-time in a way that even affected the past. Peregrine's eyes went wide. You don't mean? Yes, Yixuan nodded. As paradoxical as it sounds, the devastation actually predates the war. My guess is that you come from a time shortly before the EMP impact, from the war to come begins.
You referred to the gap when we were introduced. That's what you meant.
Yes. Peregrine sat for a minute in thought. We unleashed weapons that destroyed everything and blasted a hole in history. Wait. Nobody would be that stupid. It's been a couple thousand years. What's the evidence? She took the salt shaker and softly tapped it on the table a few times. Because so much information was lost, you can't be absolutely certain what happened. True. But, Yixuan shook her head somberly, the stories about what happened in the gap are terrifying. Even if they're only half true, people had it very hard for centuries. Stories? Peregrine frowned. Not historical records? True. Stories. But not tales. People simply made up. These are fact-based chronicles, not the fictional tales common in the age of ideology. Losing other ways to record information, humanity fell back on oral traditions. Does Homer's Iliad mean anything to you? She rummaged around the still-empty attic of her mind. I'm sorry. The Iliad was an ancient Greek epic poem about a war between two groups, the Greeks and Trojans. It has more than 25,000 lines of poetry. The Greeks memorized it. It was recited and passed on with remarkable consistency. During the gap, humans rekindled that ability. The stories that were created carefully preserved what happened. They weren't fiction or propaganda tools. They were humanity's attempt to record what occurred through epic poems. They aren't as precise as we'd like, but we can't dismiss them out of hand as fiction. Even so, Peregrine pushed back firmly, there are bound to be exaggerations, inaccuracies. Maybe my species and my race weren't the demons you think we are. After a disaster, everyone looks for a scapegoat. She spoke confidently. But part of her feared she was looking for any excuse to question the explanation, because the alternative was unthinkable. No, Homo irrationalis was as bad as we fear, the young woman said sadly. Even the Asungu records before the gap. We've been able to find show that. We've retrieved enough of your chronicles describing the broad sweep of your species' history for about 5,000 years. Homo irrationalis was a self-destructive hunter who preyed on anyone or anything it could. You slaughtered one another for every reason, good and bad, until you made your own survival impossible. You made every vice a virtue, cruelty, greed, arrogance, ignorance, prejudice, racial and sexual hatred. Your history is nothing but repeated cycles of domination, genocide, slavery. And while all Homo IR races share the blame, the Asungu were the prime mover of the final push that led to global devastation. Her tone and demeanor had been unemotional and clinical, but anger now slowly crept into her voice. You decided the planet was yours to do with as you pleased, and you waged war against anyone who stood in your way. When you encountered a new culture, your first impulse was to conquer it, steal its wealth, and use it for your own purposes. Did you try to merge your culture's best ideas with the best ideas of the other culture? No. Did you try to make peace with it? No. You rolled right over it, always assuming your way of doing things was the best way and that anyone different from you was inferior and a threat. And if that weren't bad enough, after abusing all the people you encountered, you made the planet, your home, a dangerous place to live for you and your children. You told yourself it made sense to do so. You contaminated the air, water, and land. You used anyone you could as a tool, for material wealth, for you. You alone. Not everyone on the planet. Not for anyone living in the future. And certainly, not the races you ground under. The young woman stopped herself mid-sentence. Osumare and Massasoit looked astonished at Yixuan's passionate diatribe. They quickly eyed their guest from the past. Peregrine's glare said she was furious at the tirade of accusations. Yixuan closed her eyes, took a deep breath, and sat quietly. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble describing this with scientific objectivity. And I'm not treating you with respect. You're our guest. I apologize. The tension around the table dissipated. The young woman faced Peregrine. Let me explain something. When I first started researching Homo ea, she continued in a calmer, more analytical voice, my thinking was colored by the anti-Asung biases of my family. When I began my studies, my teachers were appropriately severe in criticizing my prejudice. In response, I resolved to be more objective and to become a respected scientist. I decided to challenge the bigotry head-on. I set out to show that over the course of time, the evidence would demonstrate that Homo ea was at least progressing out of your initial barbaric stage, and that your cultures were becoming less violent, less self-destructive, and more compassionate. This would set the stage for the emergence of Homo RC. I even started looking for evidence that the EM damage was caused by a massive solar storm that produced a solar flare and coronal mass ejection. Logically, that was a possibility. She paused. Peregrine turned to her. You saw something that changed your mind. She nodded. A sadness filled her face. It broke my heart that the dark characterization of the Asungu had been right in the first place. She paused. Everyone in my field prays for finding data fragments that can be reconstructed. Most of the time, it turns out to be something like a recipe book. Interesting, but not earth-shaking. But I had remarkable luck. I discovered an actual physical book that somehow survived deep in the bowels of the vast ancient archives of the library in Boston. Printed at the end of the 21st century, the book surveyed the time's highs and lows. It confirmed that a hallmark of your species is unthinkable cruelty and self-destructive stupidity. It also documented the Asungu racism. First, Germany and World War II. Then, your homeland, the United States. Actually, because that's where Asungu supremacy was championed, we think that's where the terrorist attack is coming from. You're somehow connected with that. Shocked, confused, and crestfallen, Peregrine looked away. This is a nightmare. I wake up on a beach, supposedly 2,000 years in the future, with no memory of anything. I'm told I may be part of a terrorist attack launched by white supremacists aiming at genocide. We believe the invasion is part of an Asungu campaign of racial purification, Massasoit added. If the information we've received is correct, true, all five of you who have arrived from your time are white. Isn't that what you'd think? It was torture even to imagine the possibility. But she was a professional, and this was too much to ignore. She looked directly at him. Yes, it can't be an accident. Give it to me straight. What's their... our... mission? She caught the flicker of surprise and respect in his eye. In the course of reinventing technology, it was always a major goal to develop a way to neutralize EMP weapons, he explained. Our species has evolved beyond warfare, but we are pragmatic. We need to be prepared for any threat. We recently made a critical breakthrough. We don't know how people from your time learned about this, but we suspect that a team has come to take it, return to your time, and use it to change the outcome of the war. They'll protect Asungu countries while unleashing EMP weapons on the other races. We want to stop that from happening. For centuries, there have been rumors about a secret Asungu cell whose members have been looking for a way to get revenge. Most of us dismissed the idea as foolish paranoia. Apparently, we were wrong. This is a dangerous moment. His tone couldn't have been more somber. The prospect made her shudder. Her mouth went dry. She braced herself as she prepared to utter the most difficult sentence of her life. You're telling me I'm part of a group trying to steal this technology, to use it in a race war to prevent your world from ever existing? Yes. At least you might be, Osumari said calmly. But that's not the only possibility. There's another we'd much prefer. That you are here to help us stop this from happening. Peregrine paused, then looked at Massasoit. You don't believe that, do you? You think I'm one of them? He looked squarely at her. Like Yixuan, I heard a lot of Asungu horror stories growing up. I know my weaknesses, but I make judgments based on evidence. We reveal who we are in what we do. My opinion of who you are will be based on your actions. Peregrine took the bottle of wine and refilled his glass. I didn't ask you to be diplomatic, Massasoit. He nodded, with a glimmer of respect in his eyes. You're right. Honesty is better. Until I have evidence to the contrary, I'll assume you're one of them. Smart man. She held up her glass as a toast to him. That's what I do. So, how will we know which it is, when my memory returns? Yes, you may remember you're a terrorist. However, Osumar reached across the table and took her hand. Even if that's why you came here, your role in this matter from this point on is what you decide it will be. Peregrine's head was swimming. I'm either a terrorist hunter, or a terrorist they want to turn. How do I know any of this is true? She could feel a migraine coming on, but she never stopped midway in anything. She turned to Yixuan. You said self-destructive stupidity and unthinkable cruelty. I imagine that's just the start. She motioned with her hands as though the list would be endless. Come on, I can take it. It can't be worse than what you told me. And I don't make excuses for bad behavior, no matter who does it, she said firmly. Her three dinner companions exchanged a quick glance. Huh. They're surprised. They expected an inferior, whatever species I am, to be incapable of anything but tribal loyalties. Let's call that progress. We've been able to document at least two episodes of what was literally suicidal behavior by Homo IR. Beginning in your 19th century, the Asungu nations championed the exclusive, wasteful use of fossil fuels in powering your economy. The increase in greenhouse gases in the atmosphere made the planet's temperature rise to catastrophic levels. Despite decades of warnings from the planet's best scientists, your homeland, one of the planet's worst polluters, took the lead in denying it was happening. You undercut attempts to address things until it was too late. Rising sea levels, superstorms, drought, deaths from heat waves, population migrations that resulted in wars, failed states, terrorism. Terrorism? Her eyes widened. You seem surprised? Massasoit looked puzzled. If the Asungu were destroying the planet, other races would surely attack them, either to try to stop them, or, when it's too late, at least to exact revenge. Peregrine nodded. But how could anyone deny that any of this was happening? How could anyone close their eyes to threats right in front of them? Yixuan sighed. That takes us to the second self-destructive episode. Your country became the exemplar of one of the main features of the Age of Ideology, an assault on truth. An entire industry emerged with a business model of profiting from lies, deception, manipulation, increasing fear, and pitting people against each other. Homo Ia is easily manipulated. Simply put, your country spread destructive lies and propaganda, championing ignorance over facts, even when it came to a series of global pandemics, deadly viruses, a reappearance of smallpox, and a variant of the Black Death. Millions of people died needlessly in your country because they believed the lies. Tens of millions on the entire planet. That can't be right, Peregrine pushed back. My memories may not be intact, but if I'm representative of my species, I'm certain that no one is stupid enough to be tricked about whether their life was in danger. I know you don't want to hear this, but while your species had the potential for intelligence, you never got there, Yixuan explained. There's no reason to be diplomatic about this. As a species, yes, you are that stupid. Peregrine's head was spinning again. This was too bizarre an idea to accept. No, we're intelligent, she pushed back. My memory may still be shot, but I'm intelligent enough to be conversing with the three of you. According to you, my species developed powerful weapons and advanced technology. Some of us have traveled from my time to yours. Surely that means we're intelligent? No, Osumare replied calmly. That means you were clever. Let me ask you this. Would you agree that a necessary trait of an intelligent species is the ability to perceive threats in its environment and to respond appropriately in order to save your life? Of course, that's obvious. It is to us. But as Yixuan has been explaining, that's exactly what your species did not do. You refused to take threats to your very existence seriously. You denied they were real. You disregarded the safety of yourselves, your children, and your grandchildren. You caused global devastation. That's hardly the sign of an intelligent species. Your misuse of language was especially damning, Yixuan added. Language is a tool. Its proper use is communicating facts, strengthening relationships, and solving problems. You used it more to deceive and manipulate people. Peregrine was at a loss. It was such a simple, common sense way of looking at things, it was impossible to argue with it. Are we really not who we say we are? You have to appreciate the fact that this isn't some academic dispute over the meaning of the word intelligent. Osumare looked at her seriously. We're trying to stop a terrorist attack that will erase us from ever existing. You can help us. But if you don't accept the limitations of your species, you'll not only put our mission in jeopardy, you could easily end up dead. You have to trust me when I say that you cannot believe what you were told about your species your entire life. You cannot trust your instincts, because the instincts of your species led to self-destruction. The gravity and sincerity in Osumari's face gave Peregrine pause. She leaned back in her chair, took another swallow of wine, closed her eyes, and tried to make sense of everything she'd just heard. Her head was pounding. She was amazed that everything she'd heard hadn't made it explode. "Fortunately, there are two different explanations for what happened," Yixuan continued. "One, it was simply the nature of Homo IR to be self-destructive. You blossom towards the end of the age of ideology. Your actions resulted from irrational beliefs, political, economic, religious, cultural, more than truth and facts. Extinction was your inevitable fate. However, some of us believe that you were vulnerable to a spiritual infection that made you act that way. It started with the Asungu and spread to the rest of the races. Unfortunately, the practical results were the same. Global devastation." As her head throbbed, Peregrine regretted having insisted on hearing more bad news. "We ignored threats. My country lit the fuse for global destruction. We're either self-destructive or a spiritual infection. Whatever the fuck that means. Made us crazy and no one noticed. None of this makes sense." Her face tightened in response to the pain. Osumari looked concerned, reached over and took her hand. "You're freezing. The tightness in your face tells me you have a terrible headache. Correct?" She nodded. "It's from the stress. Since it's such a lovely night, let's walk along the beach. It will help. Then you can sleep. We'll continue any discussions tomorrow." When the four of them stepped outside, the heat of the day was gone. The evening ocean air was refreshing, and the rhythmic sounds of the waves were relaxing. Osumari instructed Peregrine to stand in front of her. "I can help you with the headache. Trust me. Take both of my hands, close your eyes, and breathe slowly and deeply." Peregrine did as instructed. After a few breaths, the headache felt less piercing. Then she heard Osumari gently humming some sort of tune. It was very soothing. A couple of minutes later, the headache was gone. "Thank you. How did you do that? What were you humming?" "It was a lullaby my mother used to sing to me. I knew that if you could just clear your mind, relax and feel safe, the pain would subside. If we just give our bodies the chance to regain inner balance, they can often heal themselves. Come." She led the group down the walkway to the dunes. The full moon lit their way. Peregrine stopped short. She pointed at the tall maples. "The trees!" "Yes," Massasoit laughed. "We call those trees T-R-E-E-S, he said slowly and deliberately, with an obvious smirk. She joined in the laughter, then stopped mid-laugh. "I remembered something. When I slept, I dreamt about this place. The trees were all short and scrubby. This is a forest now." She closed her eyes and concentrated. "There were towers and a building, but it was different. It was called Marco. No, there was more. Marconi," she announced confidently. "Brilliant!" Massasoit shouted. "Do you know what it means?" It was the same as when she tried to remember her name. The meaning was just out of reach. "Shit, I can't get it. I don't know." "That's okay. At least you're starting to recall things. That's a good sign. Osumar turned to Yishuan. Marconi, does that mean anything to you?
No, but I'll look into it. In fact, I'll go home now and start the search.
Are you sure? It's a beautiful evening. Look at the moon. Listen to those waves. Feel the breeze. It's glorious. A night like this is meant to be savored.
You enjoy it, the young woman said abruptly. I need to work on this.
As the other three stepped onto the beach, Osumare and Massasoit held hands. I need to apologize for Yixuan, she said. She's passionate about her work, but her fixation on the past pulls her in the wrong direction. The past may be interesting, but it's dead. The gifts of the present are meant to be enjoyed.
Massasoit put his arm around his partner and squeezed it. Missing a glorious night like this so she can work is very sad. The work will still be there in the morning. The moon won't.
Peregrine shook her head. They want to stop some sort of temporal catastrophe, but they take time to go for a midnight moonlit walk by the ocean. Not encouraging.
You people are real hedonists, aren't you?
Her companions laughed.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Of course we are.
Even now? When you just told me what danger you're facing?
Especially now, Massasoit explained. If we thought that continuing to work through the night would make a practical difference, we would. Our assessment is that it won't. Tomorrow morning, we will all be rested.
But why aren't you more worried? The two of you are strolling along holding hands. Why aren't you strategizing and marshalling resources based on what little you've learned from me today?
Based on what you've told me, I'm so freaked out I won't be able to sleep for a week.
Remember that while you may have just learned about this situation, his tone became decidedly more formal. We've been working on this for a while. Many are involved, with a wide array of talents.
Of course, they're professionals. Don't insult them. But everything that makes up moments like this, he gestured at the beach, ocean, and sky, then kissed Osumare on the cheek, strengthens us. His tone was friendly and informal again.
How can one flourish without being enriched by one's surroundings?
She frowned. I don't get it. But I'm not going to poke the bear again. Be diplomatic.
Pleasure strengthens you?
Pleasure doesn't, in itself, but it promotes flourishing. As does hard work, sacrifice, generosity, discipline, study, compassion, creativity, meditation, purpose. Our strength lies in our flourishing.
Okay, flourishing, not pleasure. What do you mean?
Osumar laughed. Has anyone ever told you to enjoy the moment more?
But I just want...
No more discussing tonight, she interrupted. Take in everything around you. Breathe. Relax. Your body will thank you for it. The corner of her mouth moved up a tad. By the way, how was the steak?
Delicious.
The plants it was made from will be happy to hear that.
Plants? You mean...
Of course. We don't eat animals. By the time Peregrine returned from the moonlight stroll, she was more relaxed. When she entered her room, the air felt as cool and refreshing as it did outside. We're underground.
How do they do that?
Undressing, she climbed into bed and felt the mattress form to her body. She stared at the ceiling and smirked. Just an ordinary day, traveling thousands of years into the future. Not knowing who I am, no, that's not entirely true. I'm either a terrorist or a terrorist hunter, she groaned. In their room down the hall, Osumare and Massasoit sat at a table that was effectively a large video display. They stared at a fussy, black and white image. It showed a small building surrounded by a circle of tall wooden towers and wires.
"What do you think?" he asked.
"Wellfleet, Marconi," she nodded. It makes sense that's where they'd try. The quantum properties of that location make it as good as it gets for supporting an artificial wormhole. That's why we were alerted this might be a landing spot. And if she saw towers, that means it was after the site was reconstructed. That should help us figure out what year she is from. But why was her targeting so far off? The others landed in Atlantis. Why not her? I don't know. I'd like to think she was sent to stop them by the authorities of her time. But if she was prepared properly, she shouldn't have such extreme time travel amnesia. Do you think she's doing this on her own? She's impatient, headstrong.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Maybe she thought she knew how to manage it by herself, or... Her expression turned grim. I've thought of that too. She's one of the terrorists, and was about to get caught. She gets to the site barely one step ahead of the authorities, and is able to jump, but with no preparation. She ends up here because the default setting would be the same place she left. He rubbed his chin. Are you still willing to tell her everything? Osumare stared back and shrugged her shoulders.